Thank you, peasant lady. Come on, Russian peasant, get
Ooh, I like
down.
that coffee mug. That's a
Yeah, that's
kick-ass
cool.
coffee mug, man.
Thank you. That was Dana doing product placement. If you want
Nice.
a Cash
Yeet.
Daddy's mug, you'll probably have to make your own.
Cash Daddy's. Cash Daddy's. Cash Daddy's. Cash Daddy's. Cash. 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 Cash.
Cash Daddy's is for entertainment purposes only. You'd be an idiot to listen to anything these degenerates say. Invest at your own risk, do research, but seriously don't listen to these ass clowns. Now enjoy Cash Daddies.
Welcome to Cash Daddies. We're banking fatties here with Teen Come Get Some. That's right, hanging and banging with my boys. Join me as always from WeWorks, Jay Nice, Juicy Johnny, Johnny Woodard. How are you, Juicy?
Well, after that introduction, I'm having a fabulous day, Sam Tripoli. How are you?
And nailing you with the blue steel right now. This guy's got blue steel. He went to Madison Square Garden, watched the game, left sad. Howie Dewey, bump, 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 bump. Howie Dewey, bump, 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 bump. How are you, Howie?
Good, man. We got to win game two. In a few hours, we win game two. We're back at it.
Yeah, you guys are in this. You
I
guys are
think so.
definitely in this.
I think so. I like our chances. I mean, we had a really bad second half game one, but man, let me tell you, see a game in the Garden, it's a religious experience. You
Especially a
can't.
game like that. I mean, I'm actually thinking of buying tickets to see Warriors versus Lakers, even though neither of my are my teams, just to experience those two guys going at it. Because
Yeah.
they're not going to be around. I'd say within 5 years, both of them are gone. So it's
Well,
like you're not going to see either of those guys.
LeBron may be gone next year, the year after. Steph's probably got 5 solid years left.
I don't know
Don't know,
sports,
man.
but I don't know sports at all, but I love watching games in my garden. I love to just go watch the Panthers play in my lovely garden, my rose garden. It's a
Okay.
religious
Okay.
experience for
All
me
right.
too. I
I
love it
see what you
every
did there,
Sunday.
dude. I like what you did. A little
It's
wordplay.
fantastic.
It is fantastic. Guys, if you want to see Sweet Sammy T live, I'm going to be in Reno this weekend. Are there anybody who listens to any of my podcasts in Reno?
Yeah.
Come
Reno,
on.
Nevada.
Is there
Come
anybody at
on.
all in Reno is what I would be wondering.
I would like to move to Reno. SamTripoli.com for all your ticket needs. Guys, I
Would you
want.
move to Reno? Like, that's such a random ass place to move.
Yeah, but the reason I
Like,
like
I want to be
Reno.
in like Vegas, but I want it to be like a shitty kind of Vegas. Like Vegas used to be,
Yeah,
but worse than that.
I don't want to be like, I think Vegas is gonna have real water problems. Reno is like country, dog.
It's Sparks, Nevada. It's right near Sparks, right on Lake Tahoe.
It's country, dude.
Beautiful though.
Okay. No,
Beautiful there.
Reno's great. So you're
Too
like, well,
far from
why
everything.
wouldn't you, dude? There's too much going on in Vegas. It's chaos. Reno is more country version of Vegas. And if I need something to do, I can go to a casino and hang out if I need some action.
Yeah, you can go hunting, you can like fishing in the morning, hunting in the afternoon, shoot your crossbow, go down, play with some prostitutes. There's a lot of stuff to do in
Yeah,
Reno.
dude. Yeah, you get it. You get it. So I want to start the show with a story about Vice is about to file bankruptcy. Can you guys believe? Like how far that whole mechanism just has fallen. I mean, it's unbelievable to me.
I
It,
mean,
I'm, what
does it
was it,
surprise
5 billion at one point?
I mean, does it surprise
Yeah,
you?
yeah. 5.7 billion was their peak.
Oh, and I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I'm surprised it lasted this long. Like,
I mean, it's just
I
like.
mean, that's they had it all figured out though for a while. I think part of this you can put it lay at the feet of the current obsession with growth, because they got pressure to like grow, grow, grow. Once they start taking money, they're like grow, 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 grow every year, grow, grow, grow. And they took on, you know, people that weren't as, it used to be everybody knew everybody and they were all A players, you know, and then they started taking on people who weren't as good.
And then they started
bending over backwards for the, they tried to appeal to the left more, yeah, you know, instead of just playing
I think that's the biggest thing. I think you're right about
credibility.
Them trying to expand, but it also is like when you take that money, you know, they get it, the people giving you money get a say in the product, and they push them to this really woke thing. It's the same with BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed's like, yeah, we overestimated, you know, the new. No, dude, you went way woke and pissed off the largest demographic in America. You can't do that. It's just, again, we get into this all the time, this anti-business era we're in. Now, Howie was the first one to say this. This Anheuser-Busch shit was like, okay, they're losing money. So what we're told, and based on boots on the ground, they are losing money, but their stock keeps going up. Yeah. Because if you're asking me, they're getting the influx of cash from getting high test scores. That's what they do. And I think you're just looking at some real, it's like really crazy what's going on. I'm being honest. I remember
something about Vice. Vice was a private company, I believe. I don't think it's traded. It's not a public company.
No, but they've had like fundraising rounds. That's where they got that 5.7B valuation, yeah. I think.
But they never came public. It's still somebody. It's a private company. Somebody owns it, or
They had a lot of raises, though. Is what I recall. Like that's where they eventually got like pumped up.
The reason they got no money, Johnny. I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off.
No, it's Vice. It's Zoom, dude. Sorry, it's Vice's fault.
So, and also, it's like, you know, some companies aren't going to invest ad time into your product if they're not getting any kind of payback.
Nine rounds. They raised almost $2 billion over nine rounds, Howie. The last was in February.
So what they did, basically, they raised capital through all these private equity adventures. The stock was never traded publicly, so they'll go bankrupt, and you know the people that lose out are whoever invested privately in the company. You know, you're going to get back pennies on the dollar.
Well, someone's going to get that company, and do you think it could be flipped? I mean, it still has name recognition.
Well, I would love to see somebody like Shane Smith buy it back and just make it what it used to be. Dude, we love that. What happened was they were on one branch, which was all the cool, like, skater kids and people like us, normal
outlaw
fucking
shit.
People.
They were doing outlaw shit.
And that's a good, stable branch to be on. You can make money like that. But they kind of got caught reaching for the next rung, you know, which is mainstream news and competing with cable news. And it fucked them all up, man. They lost their way. I hope they go back to their roots, because that early days shit, dude, was the best. It was the best, man.
You know, this is kind of getting into some we talked about in Conspiracy Social Club today, but they basically broke it down that the average OnlyFans model now makes $150 a month on average.
Does that include all the like accounts that people signed up and now they just stopped trying, you know, like the Punch Drunk Patreon? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
like,
you just told me people, a huge group of people just signed up for it.
What?
I'm not sure if they talked about what is active, but Johnny, if you join it and you don't make money, you quit, that still should fit into the equation, right? You would agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I'm just wondering. I mean, I feel like there's got to be, because that thing's been out a while. There's got to be a bunch of people who are like, this isn't for me, and quit, or like realize they weren't making any money.
Well, the point is that they've done surveys with OnlyFans models. Nobody's dating them. They're depressed. They're not making any money. So it gets into this like go woke, go broke bullshit, right? And then, which brings the whole reason I brought that up is something we talked about on Conspiracy Social Club today. Is about something I've been drilling into everybody. It's like not everybody is built to be an outlaw. You're going to do outlaw shit. They're trying to mainstream outlaw shit. And you like Vice going to North Korea, right? That's some outlaw shit. That's like taking chances, you know, but you get all these kids and you're just like, we're just going to get these random kids to do this stuff that these outlaws were doing. And we'll get the same product because everyone wants to believe that there's no such thing as entertainment talent. Thank you, peasant lady. Come on, Russian peasant. Get down.
I like that coffee mug. That's a kick cool coffee mug, man.
Thank you. That was Dana doing product placement. If you want a Cash Daddy's mug, you'll probably have to make your own.
You're totally right about that, Sam. It was outlaw shit, and they lost their stomach for it.
Yeah, well, they just started bringing in kids that just want to be part of the cool kids, right?
And well, do you think, though, that that's like this younger generation that we're always talking about? I mean, because those are the ones that work there now, and they're the ones that drove the car into the ditch.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing, dude. Like, once money starts coming in, you're expanding, you're looking at resumes, and you see Harvard. You're like, oh, my God, somebody from Harvard wants to work here. That's insanity, you know? It's like I did a show last night in Torrance, but it was the night before I was in Redlands, and it was ran by my buddy Rick, who was an old BMX biker, you know? And like, dude, he was going out there like laying it online. That's how it used to fucking be. So the reason I bring up Rick is like, if you want to get somebody who's a journalist going to do dangerous story, I'd rather have somebody like Rick, who's like lived some life on the edge, to go into some shady area than some kid from Harvard. But because everything's clout chasing, it's just all fucked up, man. It's just all fucked up. There's just no honest. There's the way we look at talent now is so half-assed backwards. It's why Saturday Night Live is dying, because they just keep getting kids from Harvard. And you're like, just because you're smart doesn't mean you're funny. You could be witty, but you're not funny. Like, well,
they're really gonna be dead. They're all going to be dead now that we got a nice little writer's strike kicking.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming. All the late shows are done.
Well, Johnny, I mean, Howie, what if this is part of their plan? What if these network execs realize that late night television is dead for the amount of money they're paying? They're not getting any kind of is 3 million and this is crazy that, again, we talked about this, that the Tonight Show, which I thought wasn't doing well, gets the highest ratings at like 3.6 mil.
Yeah.
Is that worth the almost 20 mil that they're paying just Jimmy Fallon to get those numbers? Is that worth it?
I mean, it makes you wonder, because, you know, hey, the one sector of the stock market that's just taken a beating over the past 3-4 years hasn't come back. Any media, all the media companies have taken a beat down. All of them. I don't care if it's Paramount, if it's Fox. They've all taken a beat down. So, you know, these big guys sitting around have to be saying, what do we need to do besides, you know, more streaming? What do we do to bank more fatties, to have better margins, to make more profit? You know, they have to be going through this right now. And there's got to be a few things that they're trying to do differently right here. But, you know, as we know it, TV's dead. It's been dead. I mean, look at some of these shows. Some of these channels just show the same thing over and over. Everybody,
live TV especially, right, Howie?
Dead. It's dead. Why the hell when I come home and turn the TV on, why is there Seinfeld episodes on? Why is there still South Park every day? You know, these are the lead money generators.
And you know, it's funny, like, DirecTV and cable have let, like, football get away from now. You know, as they let these rights get away to the streamers, like, they're sealing their own fate, because now that nobody's, I mean, that was, I can't imagine how many people signed up for just DirecTV because of a Sunday ticket. And now that it's on YouTube, I mean, they're
why are you going to get DirecTV get out of that anymore? I mean, just quit right there. As soon as they say, we're going with YouTube. But Johnny, I don't know what you guys think about this, but is YouTube effed? I mean, they're struggling for their ad revenue is down. It's only like 3%, but yeah, that's a lot of money, man. And if censorship, because you hear everybody talking about censorship over there, and like, what is the number of that people are going to be willing to pay YouTube to get the NFL package?
What well, is that it's, number? I mean, it's like $300, something like that, for the season, and that's the discounted rate. It's $300-something. YouTube, though, I heard they made up for it on our last episode of Broken Simulation. Their ad, somebody told me there was an ad literally every 5 minutes on the last episode of Broken Simulation. I don't know what to do about it. Sorry about that. If you're experiencing that in this video.
We can't even control that, can we?
Yeah, no. Yeah, they just.
I don't know if you. The biggest problem is this: you go into a sports bar in New York City on a Thursday night, 7 o'clock. You walk in, you look around. There's 50 TVs. Everything's on. Except for the Yankee game. So you go to the manager and, hey, buddy, I'm here with my friends. We want to watch the Yankee game. Sorry, dude. We have everything, but we don't have Amazon Prime. Because legally, we're a bar. We can't get it. They can't even get Amazon Prime, some of these places. So by law, they can't show the Yankee game, the most popular sport, on a Thursday night in
dude,
a city.
Dude, that is nuts to me,
about 12
man.
Million. So it's this way all over the country in local markets. And I read the other day where one of these owners came out, and I don't know if it was Dallas, the Mavericks, but somebody, they had tons of complaints that normal Joe with the TV and cable, basic cable, can't watch the games. And he said they were going to start playing all of the home games on cable and fuck it, because it was wrong that the fans can't see their team. And it's true.
Dude, the Dodgers are going through that too, man. Not Time Warner. What Time Warner become? What?
Spectrum.
Spectrum. If you don't have Spectrum, you can't watch the Dodger games.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me. And it's just like getting into this whole thing about, like, you know, Johnny and I talk about all the time how MLS, I think, made a giant mistake.
Yeah, the numbers, but they went with Apple is what they did exclusively. So it's all streaming. And the numbers they said were, the rumor was anyway, that they were something like 40% off of their mark, what they expected, which is, I mean, that's devastating
you can't,
if it's
like,
true.
You can't give away, Johnny, I got to remember to wait till you stop talking. I'm sorry. But you cannot, you got to give away stuff for free. You got to give free stuff to get people to buy packages. And if you take it all off a package, you're screwed, man. You're screwed. Even like the Clippers, we had a couple episodes on KTLA. They were smart enough to get, they were on Bally's, but there were games that they also did on KTLA. I think that's really smart because it allows people to watch the team that maybe, let's say you're a Lakers fan, right? You're a big Lakers fan. You love the Lakers. But the Lakers are on Sports Central or whatever the special package is, and you can't afford that, so you can't watch Laker games. But you can go to KTLA and occasionally see a Clipper game. I think it's smarter. I think these teams are really, really shooting themselves in the foot, because what they believe is there's going to be unlimited growth. And what we're starting to see is, that's not true, especially since these regional cable networks, Bally Sports, which gobbled up all of the Fox Sports West, have crashed and burned, and they filed bankruptcy. So it doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be just more and more money coming in.
Man, I'll tell you what you're going to see is, you're going to see so many conglomerations. You're going to see so many of these companies buying each other out. Like, you take a look at Dish Network. It's trading at $7. Dish Network is a bad month away from going bankrupt.
Yep.
So, I mean, you're going to see some of these companies just eat each other up. And it's like anything else. It's going to be like the banks buying the small banks. Like, you know, JP Morgan just bought out FRH yesterday. You're going to see more and more of that in the media business. It's like Malone back in the day, Liberty Media, just buying up everyone.
I should have sent you this. Somebody posted on Twitter that this one female congressman or senator, she sold her stock days before she had what was it, First National? Is that what just crashed?
First Republic.
First Republic. She sold her stock in First Republic and then went and bought JP Morgan, which ended up buying up First Republic.
So Sam, on Friday, I bought some First Republic. You know, this is for a trade because this thing was down like 40% in a day. And I bought some at, I think, 5:30. And this is Friday. It jumped to 6:10, 6:11, 6:12. And I sold it because I looked at it and I had a bad, bad feeling about the stock. And, of course, Monday morning it opens up at $2.21 with a big red marker on it saying trade halted.
In other words, my God, bro. You just got out.
If you didn't sell on Thursday or Friday, you can't sell now, baby, because it's probably worth zero.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah. That is so crazy, bro. That is so nuts. You were living on the edge right there, bro. You went in and bought that, dude. How much did you put in?
I mean, put it this way, it went up, I think, 70 cents, and I made a few thou on it.
Wow, Howie. Wow. That's living dangerous, dude.
But it was a deal where I made some phone calls, and I talked to my buddy. I said, you know, fundamentally, what do you think about this company? And he says, fundamentally, sell it yesterday. Get out, man. He goes, I'm not kidding you, Howie. Get out. He said, the place, it may be worth nothing. So I got out and I wake up to look at it Monday morning and I see the news on it and I see where it's down 80%. It's down to $2 or $1.21 even. I see a red. In other words, whoever owned that thing Monday, you're fogged.
Yeah.
It's over. You can't get out of it. You can't sell it if you wanted to. Your broker can't help you, man.
Wow, dude, that is nuts, bro. That is nuts.
Yeah, First Republic, man, has some bad shit. And you know,
now did you tell people they should have gotten that stock? And did anybody follow you up on that?
No. It was a deal where I certainly wasn't going to tell anybody to buy it. It was one of those things where, okay, Howie's going to buy it quickly. Howie's going to sell it quickly. Fundamentally, I didn't like it. And I certainly wouldn't have told anyone to do it because this was kind of like rolling it a little bit.
Dude.
But it was a deal where if I had bought it and it started to continue to drop more, I would have gotten out right there.
Respect on that, bro. Respect on that. What else did you get into this week, Howie?
Oh, man. We bought some shit. Remember I told you last week we bought some UVIX. We bought some VIX calls. Sold them, banked. The thing dropped again. We bought them again. Me and the Patreon guys went in and bought them again Friday. And shit, well, we were up 22-23% today because the market did nicely. So it was a good couple days. Went in, bought a few more things. But, I mean, things like Bank of America, Pfizer, I don't love them. But they're down to the point now where I think you can bank a few fatties, hold them for a few days. So it's all about dry powder. You got to buy, you got to sell.
And I love that name.
That money market paying almost 5% right now. So
anything else? Did you have any other great plays this week that maybe you and the listeners got into? You and the readers?
Basically it was the VIX. We bought some more SQQQ when it dipped below 30. All on the reason that the Fed is meeting this week. The Fed has meetings today, tomorrow. They're going to come out. They're going to raise interest rates. There's no, I mean, you'll hear some ass clowns on CNBC like, no, things are looking good. I don't think they're going to do it. It's like, what were you born? Yes, of course they're going to.
You're so funny, dude.
They don't give a shit.
We all love ass clowns here.
Yeah, but you know what? You can bank fatties off of ass clowns, and that's what it's all about. It's all about banking fatties off of ass clowns for advice.
You guys want to go to the guest now?
Yeah, let's go to Jamie Johnson. Come on, let's do it.
Hey, guys, real quick, we want to talk to you about Copy My Crypto. That's right. Guys, listen, we've seen so many people making ridiculous money from crypto. But did you know it's easy for you to do the same? That's right. The Copy My Crypto membership site shows you the coins that YouTuber James McMahon personally holds and allows you to copy them. It's like having a big brother who knows what he's doing. You don't need to know a thing about crypto or how to invest, as you simply do what he does. So let me tell you about James. He runs the Crypto with James YouTube channel, which despite heavy censorship, and we know a lot about that, has over 26,000 subscribers. Since March 2020, he told his viewers to buy 26 crypto coins. Had you put in $100 into each one, it went on to be worth $123,000. Of the 26 coins, his top pick of the year, a coin called Phantom, went up 692 times from when he said. That one call alone has retired a number of people, including guys in their 20s and 30s. Remember, this is public knowledge. You can go to his YouTube and verify for yourself. So if you'd like to join the 2,800 members who copy James, then stop what you're doing and head over to copymycrypto.com/Sam. That's copymycrypto.com/Sam. That's S-A-M. You'll not only find proof of everything I've said, but my listeners get full access for $1. That's right. Our listeners get full access for just $1. Once again, that's copymycrypto.com/Sam. The recession is here, guys. You can suffer like everyone else or choose to thrive. James is a real deal. Go visit his site now.
All right, time to bring back our returning champion. He's been on a couple times. We're glad to have him back. Always a pleasure to talk to him. Please welcome Jamie Josta. How are you, buddy?
Good, good. Thanks for having me back on. Shout out to all the bag holders out there. We're going to talk about some bags. I want to get into the bags right out of the gate. What's up, Johnny? What's up, Howie?
It's hey, good to see you, dude.
You own a lot of wild bags, man. You own bags that, like, were created 2 days ago, and you're just going balls deep in them.
I love a risky bag every now and then. And I just, it's that degenerate in me. It's like, man, you see, like I was watching FRC waiting for the halt to stop. I'm like, do I want to grab it real? Just a quick in and out. Look at it. Look at Howie. I just say it just to get that reaction because it's like, it's horrible. Look at that chart.
Yeah, that halt when it opens, maybe negative 3 cents. That's what it could possibly be. It could be in the negative.
But I made like $600-$700 on PACW. I just caught it. Maybe I was lucky.
Yeah. Did you see it today? What happened to it today?
No. Well, can we pull up the chart?
Yeah, why don't you pull up PACW and see what happened today on it? You're I'm lucky out. You got rid of it the other day.
I am out. Thing. I got out at like 10 something. Wow.
Yeah, where is it right now?
Oh, 655.
yeah, dude. Listen, and I've had so many of the readers say, Howie, you think we should jump into a few of these regional banks? And I'm like, fuck no. Don't do it. Don't do it, man. Just throw your shit on double zero on roulette, man, because look at, like, PACW, Pacific West came out with their earnings the other day, and they were pretty decent. They said, what? $1 billion in deposits. Things are looking solid. We're not going to follow First Republic. And then today, boy, some of these came out. Oof. Look at all these regionals. They didn't just drop 5, 10%. Some of these dudes were down 20, 30%.
Damn.
No, you're right. I didn't see PACW, but I did see others. And that's when I was like, all right. And I just started dipping into Bitcoin. And then I started grabbing Riot. I rode Riot up. I've been buying. See, everybody thought it was crazy when I bought that crazy Riot dip, but I was trying to go by the, you know, when there's blood in the streets, that's when you buy. And now it's paying off for me.
Riot is the one stock that you sent me out of the 300 that I'm like, you know what? I like it. It's got a chance here. It's got a decent chance, got good management. I mean, the stock looks like it could possibly come back.
Okay, yeah, because I was in Mara too, but I sold that last Mara rip. But like I was telling you on Twitter, I sell too early and then I regret it.
It's bad. Look, man, it's you say that, but what if you didn't sell First Republic on last week? You're fucked. That money, look, you know how that trade's halted? What that means is whoever bought that stock last week, they're screwed. I mean, yeah. When that thing open, you might see that thing open at 15 cents. I mean, yeah. That's what happened to Enron, WorldCom, and that's what it reminded me of when I saw that. I was telling Sam earlier, I actually purchased some of it Friday. It was down to, I think, $4.85, something like that. And I went and bought a little chunk, but I sat there and watched it. And I, you know, it had so much volume on it. They were stopping it, halting it. And I'm like, look, if this thing gets up a little, I got to get out. And it got up and I got out of it. Thank God, because I woke up Monday morning and I saw that trade halted at 7:30. I'm like, I would have been fucked. I would have been absolutely fucked if I was holding that. And I've had it happen to me before. The biggest problem with penny stocks, and when I was working at Morgan Stanley back in the day, we used to have these dudes call us. We were brokers in the office, and these dudes would call us, say, hey, man, I know you're a retail broker. I know you have like, well, $100 million under management, but just want to let you know, I want to give you a stock. And they would fire the stock like GOLF. I'm like, so what is it? Well, we just bought a bunch of golf courses down in Florida, and we got Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods are going to come in and wrap them. And right off the bat, you knew this was a scheme. You knew this was a pumping. Because I would pull it up, and I'm like, did your company come public ever? No. We used to be pink sheets, but we're getting so popular that we're looking for institutional investors like yourself to come in. And I'm like, your fucking stock's trading at 49 cents. So, you know, I would say, yeah, sure, I'll put some people in it. And then I would just watch it for 5 days, and you would see this thing go from 49 cents to $6. And then the very next day, you would see it halted at like 225. And what that meant was they pumped, they dumped it, they moved to another state, changed their names. And yeah, Anybody that was holding that stock, you were done, man.
But that's the goal, right?
And how many... Well, how many institutions do you think were in it? Because on some of these that I ask you about, I go and look, and then some of these big, like that one I sent you, that Goldman is in, and they're in heavy, 500,000 shares.
In Mullen Automotive?
Was it Mullen or the other one that you were like, get out? But I wrote it up. Then I bought the dip, and it rode up again at 8% today. I sold some more. Now I'll buy the next dip. I mean, yeah, I know what you mean. If it gets halted, I'm screwed. So I wanna lighten up anytime, you know, sell these rips. But I was buying heavy when everybody was scared at like 6.9 cents or 7 cents or whatever it was.
Jesus. Yeah, man. When I see a stock under a dollar, even under $2, unless it hasn't been around for a long time, and it's all that tells you is that eventually it's going bankrupt. I mean, we're talking
all about right, this. So this is good. This is why I'm here, because I like Smile Direct Club, because I hate dentists. Dentists are a scam. Sorry to all the dentists out there, especially my own dentist. But why are you charging me $5,000 for a piece of plastic to make my teeth come together when Smile Direct Club can do it for under $100? Why is that stock under a dollar? To me, that stock should be $5.
What's the symbol on that?
SDC.
Because you know who started that company, or at least was an initial investor? He was an initial investor. He got the company started. It was Draymond Green a couple years ago. Started that company with a few investors. The company, that company used to trade at $22 back in 2019, 2020. Now it's at 39 cents. That scares the shit out of me. Just because, I mean, for that thing to get back up, you know, when your volume is only 500,000 shares a day, okay, and you're trading at 39 cents just in my doing the math in my head. I mean, you're only there's only like a little over $1 million a day trading on that. That's like my bodega, right? My bodega is worth way more than Smile Direct.
Well, yeah, it seems like they definitely have a PR problem, and it seems like they have some sort of leadership issue. But to me, if we're going to go by like the Warren Buffett, like I wish I never sold anything, or I wish I bought more when everybody was scared, whenever, isn't that a decent enough company I'm just talking about nibbling. Like I think my cost average on that is like 43 cents or 42 cents. Well, so if I'm nibbling, I know the bottom is zero and I know they could be, but if I'm only nibbling here and there and then it does have a run.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I will say this. The very first thing that came out of your mouth, I respect why you bought that company, because you actually have a backstory. You don't like the whole dental thing. This looks like it makes sense. So in other words, what you're saying is this looks like a valid business model. Like more.
Well, Sam, Johnny, how many people you know with Invisalign? And they're like, and then my teeth got crooked again. And I spent $4,000 or $5,000. I think I got it from my daughter when she was like 14. I think back then it was even more, like maybe like $6,000.
No, you're right. Yeah. So, you know, it looks to me like, you know, a couple things could be going on. This could be horrible, absolutely horrible leadership. where these dudes are just writing themselves checks every day and like, fuck it, we're going under. Let's just take everything with us. I mean, you don't know. For me, for that thing to be trading that low, it's like, holy, 39 cents, man. I mean, it's gone straight down in the last, you know, it was at $2 a year ago.
What do you think about Skills?
I don't even know what the fuck that is. What Skills? Is that like the?
It's a small cap.
It's his hooker down on Fifth.
I'm just trying to holler off like less than dollar.
What's the symbol on it?
And obviously people know this. None of this is financial advice. Don't listen to me. Whatever you do. But I'm just SKLZ
Skills. It's at 58 cents.
Well, you had mentioned the ones that are under a buck. You know how you're like fuck that. But I'm thinking of it from the standpoint of like, if you and never invest anything you're not ready to totally lose. But if you were going to buy into one of these risky plays at a smaller price where you could, looking at the chart, you could cost average down. Because if you look, I mean, how much lower can it go at? You know, it could go to zero. You're right. But there's other levels where I think, oh, could it bounce? Could it bounce here at, you know, let's see, 20? I can't zoom out on the 3 year here.
This looks like it could possibly, I don't know if they, man, they were down 8% today.
But yeah, this looks like it. But I bought the dip, baby.
You might want to get out tomorrow, man. This thing does at least more volume than, say, the Smile Direct Club. They do more volume. I mean, this thing's trading at 58 cents. They look like they're doing 4.5 million shares a day, which would, you know, it's at least $2 million. I mean, it's risky as shit. This is one of these that could open up and you're like, ah, shit, it's halted. What happened? Wow. The CEO just took off with all the cash. I mean,
what's an analyst that could change your mind? Like if you saw someone that said, hey, you know what, Skills, there was an insider buy, or there was some good PR, like
insider buy April 8th, the CEO bought over $800,000 in regular stock. So that's not a bad sign. That means if the CEO bought 800,000 stock, he's either doing it to make it look like the stock still has a chance, and then the other 30 million he's trying to unload on the back end. Or he's like, you know what? Let's go all in, try to make this thing breathe again.
Hey, everybody. Sam has his daughters to think of. And if you have a family, you know how much your loved ones depend on you. In a worst case scenario, you would not want them to have to worry about money. A good life insurance plan can give you peace of mind that if something happens to you, your family would have a safety net to cover mortgage payments, college costs, and other expenses so they can get back on their feet and focus on what's most important. Now is a great time to take the lead to future-proof your family's finances by getting life insurance, and Policy Genius gives you a smarter way to find and buy it. I know Sam recently gave himself that peace of mind by buying a life insurance policy, and he sleeps much better at night knowing that his daughters would be taken care of in the event something happens to him, God forbid. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $25 per month for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you in the best fit for your needs. They work for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. There are no added fees, and your personal details are kept private. No wonder they have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. Your loved ones deserve a financial safety net. You deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description of this episode to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. Again, that's policygenius.com.
You know, what do you like in that sector? Like, what do you like in entertainment? Anything like and Johnny and Sam in entertainment? I mean, are you guys playing any of those?
I put on my in January 2nd, I came out with a portfolio and it's on the link. And one of the large holdings that I liked then, it was trading at 18 January 2nd, was Paramount, because, you know, they all got together. It was CBS, Paramount, which used to be Viacom.
And Viacom employee.
Yeah, they're former employee. Paramount is Viacom, Sam. It's the same company. They merged.
They just kill these name brands and come up with another brand.
If Sam and I went to New York, and Ralph probably, if we called Gas Digital, Ralph probably knows Sherry, could probably get us a meeting. Imagine what we could do with the IP that Viacom owns if they would let real fans and people who want to put skin in the game do something with it. Because I'll tell you right
Dude,
now,
that's my opinion on MySpace. Like, I think it's even doing this is gone, but there was a time where MySpace was dead, but still had so much name recognition that if the right people got behind it, it could blow up. But now it's, I think the people who remember MySpace are now aging to a point where they just don't care anymore. So it's like, that's kind of Twitter now. I think Twitter has gotten the Generation X people. But yeah, I've always said that there are brands out there that you could, like Vice. We were just, before you came on, Vice is about to file bankruptcy. If the right people went in there, and those people will never have enough money to get it, but if the right people had the money to go in and buy Vice at pennies on the dollar, they could flip thing real quick.
You know what Vice could do to get the road back to profitability and to respectability? Go full old school YouTube style. West, Wild West, allow it all. The craziest, worst shit, allow it all. Yep. Like the old wild owner. I forget the guy's name, but he was like,
Shane
women
Smith,
stay.
Yeah.
No, it was the other one.
Before,
like, women belong in the kitchen barefoot.
Oh,
like
he's talking about Gavin McInnes.
yeah. Like, go wild style, because he was obviously like the
guest of tinfoil hat, we should say.
What the wild motherfuckers liked, right?
Whatever the opposite of woke is, that's what they should do, because that seems to be doing better than everybody else. And it's just like we were talking, what you're talking about is something we talked about earlier. Outlaws, get back to outlaws. Like, Hatebreed to me was an outlaw. You guys were outlaws. You probably weren't good at a lot of shit, and this is the thing that allowed you to shine. And now you've moved into other stuff, but it's like, you're outlaw. Now it's like everything is so manufactured, and it's just like, but I also do believe that if you are talented and you are an outlaw, there is a place on the internet for you now. And in comedy, I think we're about to enter the greatest time ever. And that is that, you know, every I moved to LA in like 99, I think 99, 98. And every time there'd be a new era. Like, when I moved there, it was like the nerd era. Then it became the female comic era. Now it's we're slowly leaving diversity, and the industry isn't doing it. Just humanity's leaving, you know, Hollywood. So it's going to get to where everybody, if you're talented, you'll have a space, man. And then and good luck on all the nerd dorks trying to. If I was starting a rock station and I had Jamie Josta or I had somebody from Harvard, I know who I'm going to pick, the guy who who's, you know, boots on the ground, been living the lifestyle, instead of thinking some degree gives you this kind of insight into anything. It's just ridiculous. Well, it's
the people that are just counting the widgets that ruin everything. It's the suits. We could say it. Suits ruin everything. Yeah. I know we need the suits. We need the pencil pushers because we will spend too much money, right? Like, we'll just throw money at the wall and they'll be like Howie telling me, hey, maybe don't buy Mullen. Like, you need, like, Howie, you got a little suit still in you, which is good because we need the suits to a certain extent. But Viacom, if I went in and said, hey, let's put all my Headbangers Ball episodes up on YouTube, like, stop deleting them, like, stop, or let's put them up on whatever, mtvheadbangersball.com. They'll be like, oh, we can't show the videos because we can't pay the music publishing, and they'll have some financial reason as to why not to do it. But between me, Eddie Trunk, Scott Ian, Ricky Rackman, that whole metal library, we could repurpose with new Talking Head stuffs. Like, remember, I'm sure you were just talking about the eras of comedy. Remember when they had like Chris DiStefano and Andrew and all those dudes doing those Talking Head shows? I forget what they were called. You're on mute, Sam.
What do you think about? I personally saw this the other day, and I'm like, this is the best thing I've seen in weeks, because I saw Jim Florentine and my buddy Don Jameson. Those guys in Trunk, they're putting together a new YouTube channel, and they're basically doing the shit that they used to do on VH1 right on YouTube. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, and that's kind of like the concept that everybody's from who got burned by Comedy Central. Is Comedy Central under Viacom too?
Well, Lisa, I was just going to ask you about that 2 seconds ago. So you talked about the suits, and yes, it is. Comedy Central is Viacom, which is now Paramount. So what I was going to ask you is, you know, you said, you know, it's all comes down to the suits, but in my opinion, I think the suits over the last 10 years had kind of like lost their way of what the fuck's going on, because the suits are hiring VPs and executive producers and saying, let's get some good creative stuff going. And what are these guys doing? They're hiring 22, 23-year-old, no talent fucking ass clowns. I'll use that word again. And they're hiring these guys to come in and say, hey, I got this new neat little comedy on comedy. This is going to be amazing. It's about a gay dude that lives out in Idaho, and he moves to New York for his first big, and, you know, he turns into a drag queen. It's going to be crazy. And these are the fucking shows that they're trying to get to replace, you know, shows like South Park they didn't work because they tried about 1,000 of these shows over the past 7-8 years. And what do you see when you turn on Comedy Central? You see repeats of The Office, Seinfeld, and South Park. And that's it. When's the last time you had a good show on it?
Imagine if Sam could get like two or three big investors, big comedians. It would have to be artist-owned. And just buy that portion out. Buy the entire catalog. Repurpose it. Like, when I was a kid, I would put the vinyl on of Rodney Dangerfield. I put the vinyl on of fucking Richard, the dude who banged Marlon Brando.
Pryor.
My father had the vinyl. I remember thinking I was going to be in trouble for listening to it. You could literally sell 100,000 of the biggest Comedy Central specials on vinyl right now, probably of each. But is Paramount, do they do Yellowstone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. Whatever suit greenlit that, give that fool a raise. And then also is Paramount the one that did the one about the Godfather? That one was great.
Oh, that was good, wasn't it? Oh, damn, that was good. Yeah, that was a great show. That was Paramount. Yeah, The Offer. That was so fucking good, dude.
So there's light.
And they hired Sheridan, and they said, here's your room. You got to do whatever you want.
Taylor Sheridan, dude, is just a factory of TV shows. I think he's got 4 or 5 on Paramount right now.
It's everybody riding out on a fucking horse, like shooting things. And it's like, dude, if he could make that work, I just don't get why they wouldn't get actual real funny people to come in and say, all right, let's make a new series on Comedy Central about a homeless dude that just likes to shit on every block. And you could make it funny.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Or look at the lane that's so wide open with comedy, because those other shows sucked. I couldn't even get like 2-3 episodes in, like the one that Jim Carrey did, the one that what was the other one about the store, Sam? There was another one. It was
Showtime.
Yes.
With Santino, right? Oh, fuck. What was that thing called?
Sam, you're on mute. But you the lane is open. Imagine someone really made, like, make a real episodic TV show about a real comedy club, like the ones I used to go to.
Yeah.
Like where you show the coke, you show the fucking degenerates, you show all the warts and all, like the, and show the highs and the lows, and not have it be this cookie cutter. Let's not offend people. Like, show the worst jokes and the worst comedians bombing.
Yeah.
What happened to your mic, Sam?
You're muted.
We lost you. You're muted. We lost you, brother.
All right. I totally agree, dude. I totally agree. 100%. And I remember a long time ago, Jerry Seinfeld was winning. He was being awarded at the comedy festival, the comedian of the year. And they were interviewing on stage, and he goes, a big problem with comedy today is that comedians have to pitch the suits comedy ideas. Yes. And that these suits couldn't do comedy to save their life, but they're telling them what is funny and what's not funny. Now, that was like 10, 15 years ago. Now, today, you're not just pitching to a suit. You're pitching to a 24-year-old, a 25-year-old who has no clue about life.
Yes. Yes.
And so you have this, you know, like if you go to Saturday Night Live's a writing room, you're looking at 24, 25, 26-year-olds, and all the veterans aren't even there anymore.
I mean,
been writing for years.
I know two writers that work right now on Saturday Night Live. I know two. And it's like, you know, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, just, you know, no offense. Just
it's embarrassing. My chick watches it. My chick loves it. She's laughing. I'm like, what are you laughing at? This is embarrassing. But you should go outside of your bubble. Like, I think some of these suits should go watch, like, some of these videos on YouTube. Like, there's a guy who just makes steak in, like, butter or steak in baking soda, and he's got more views on his steak videos than most of the, than probably Saturday Night Live.
Guga Foods is his name. Yeah. And all he does is just finds out all kinds of random shit you can cook a steak in. I mean, I think I saw one the other day. He just took all the Taco Bell hot sauce and marinated a steak in it for a week or something, aged it, red aged it for a week. I mean,
some vegan suit wouldn't greenlight that. But meanwhile, it has more views
than
any CNN video. Any.
Yeah. There's another guy that just all he does is pressure wash sidewalks, concrete, and buildings. That's what I did for a living. That was my business in Atlanta. And this guy does it, and he's got like, a million and a half views. Like, first going to get the mold off, then the mill. And I'm like, what the fuck am I watching here?
It's like, it's so interesting that people love to watch people work. Like, that's the difference between men and women and what we view. Like, women want to watch shows about women who fucked a guy that did something, right? Whereas guys like to watch dudes do a job, you know, like Dog the Bounty Hunter, flip this house, all that shit, right? Women are like, I want to watch a show about a stripper who got knocked up by a guy that achieved something in life, and that's their shows. It's such a different dynamic, but it's guys love watching people work. It's just something in us. We appreciate a good fucking honest day's job. Yeah, that's interesting. So let's get in some before we let you go, Jamie. What any stocks that you think people should look into? And get buying the penny stocks, because that's the crypto in me. You're like, oh, dude, you can get this crypto at 5 cents right now. If it skyrockets to $1, I'm gonna fucking retire, dog. So I get buying that, because even if you miss on 1,000 of them, right? If you don't lose too much money, you buy a decent amount.
It's the same thing as going to the racetrack. And if I go to the track It's the ninth race. I haven't picked a winner in the first eight. And you got two favorites in the ninth race, a 3-5 shot, a 2-1 shot. And all of a sudden I see like this gray, shitty looking horse come out. It looks like he may have syphilis. But the horse is the horse is at 85-1. My mind is like, I got to dish a little on the 85-1 shot, because in my mind, I'm like, man, it would be nice if that horse paid $180 to win. I had a few fucking shekels on it. That's the mindset. That is the mindset. Yes.
You couldn't have said it better. I mean, as far as those go, like one that I'll dip into, which I follow the guy on Twitter. It's some sort of like crypto slash. Let me tell you right now. It's AULT, and it's like 8 cents right now. It's down from 15 cents over the last 5 years, right? Cool. And it's, if you look at the overview, it says it's a company through its, let's see, what is it, what exactly, it's big at the, it's the data center which mines Bitcoin. So anytime I look at one of these Bitcoin mining stocks, and I sold Mara. Like, I think last time I was on, pretty much everything I said to buy last time, or I was buying, I sold it all. And thank God I did, because some of them, like Jumia, that one is just, I've been watching
this
it now.
This bad boy, all.
Yes.
It looks like it's in hospice right now, and it may be 14 days left.
How many days left?
I'd say maybe 2. I'm sure the doctor was like, look, man, you got pancreatic and kidney cancer.
Jesus Christ. You know what?
If you drink enough water and, I don't know, take a fucking vitamin a day, you may make it to 30 days, but you'll probably be gone in the next week.
Right. Again, this is the degenerate place. Or should we do legit place? Let's talk about legit place. Because I don't want anybody to be like, yo, I heard you on Cash Daddies and I fucking bet my house on the fucking AULT. Don't do any of this. Let's talk about legit. I like Lyft. I'm actually looking at this Paramount chart and I'm thinking, man, if it's goes below 20, I might even be a buyer at 21.50. What do you like? What levels do you like on that chart?
Yeah, I mean, I start buying it January 18, but yeah, anywhere around 20, I think.
Yeah, you know, Lyft. I made a nice bit of money on Lyft today. Right, I'll probably sell Lyft too early.
Did you see what Uber did today?
I wish I was in Uber, but I like Lyft better.
Uber,
what
was
did
up,
Uber do?
Up 11% today. Yeah. The rules came out. They crushed it. But to what Jamie's saying about Lyft. Lyft is trading at about 1060. It's taken an absolute beat down, but if it's going to survive, I think it does bounce off of here. I mean, probably 1060. It looks like it could get back up to 16, 17 bucks.
Yeah. What, why don't you three give me three? I'll give you three degenerate plays. You give me three degenerate plays. I guess mine would be Mullen. That AULT, and then what was the other one? Skills. Those are my three, like, gambler 1-800 gambler plays.
Yeah. they definitely have some those are volatile.
Or are you guys just playing it safe and you never dip into any of those?
I mean,
dude, I'm being honest with you, I'm a gold and silver guy right now. I'm just kind of waiting to see what happens with this with the economy. I got completely screwed by Celsius. A bunch of just bad events happened. I'm hoping I can recover some of that back. We'll see what happens. It really sucks, bro.
Can you get access to the wallet? Like, could you do things where people send you those and then you still have that address, or no?
No.
Wow. That sucks. So
something's supposed to be happening?
Are you in AG? Because I looked at that today, and I was like, oh, I should have bought it. Now it's up 2%.
Oh, AG?
Because look at that chart on AG, the monthly chart. Is that going back to 780? Like, it's straight up after 720, and it's at 707 today.
Actually, if that thing can break above $7.14, yeah, it could go right to $7.86.
Yeah, because as soon as Sam said he's in gold and silver, I thought of AG because I was in that a while ago, maybe even the last time I was on, and I got out. Luckily, I got out with a small loss because I want to say I was in around, I don't know, maybe the $9 range.
Gold's in a pretty much an all-time high right now. I mean, I'd probably, if anything, I might be selling some of it very soon. It's gone straight up, gold.
I sold all my gold plays, all my lithium plays. I've been looking at some of the lithium plays to get back in, especially after today with all these EVs popping off today.
I'll give you a stock that you will like, Jamie.
A degenerate?
Oh, yeah. This is a beautiful one, but I've actually done well with this the last few years. I started buying a stock like 5 years ago and trading it. But look at DSX, Diana Shipping. DSX. It's a shipping company. Okay. And I sold some at 470, 480 back in September, October. It's at 375 today. And it looks to me like...
Is it setting up?
I think it'll just pop back up above 4. I mean, the trading range on it's been crazy. It was at 4.
Yeah, for a swing?
Yeah, it was at 420 last week.
Yeah.
420 last week. It's at 475 here. So don't be surprised if you get a nice 8, 10% dead cat bounce. Looks like it.
If you want one other kind of degenerate play... Hylion, I just love the idea of us, everybody in the entertainment industry, getting these trucks where we're not filling up. The diesel kills us on these tours with the buses. And then if if you take a truck, like we're going to, for our tour in October, we're going to need an 18 wheeler for merch. So like you take a truck, I'd rather take one of these Hylion. What's it going to take for Hylion to fucking pop? Do they need like Amazon to buy a couple trucks or look at that chart. That thing is abysmal. I mean,
what's the symbol?
Cause I'm up 14% on it today. Cause I bought back in, but like I lost a bunch on that.
It went from 378 down to a buck in like 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah. And I sold on the way down at a loss. And then today I was like, or actually over the last 2 weeks, I've been just buying. And then luckily yesterday I bought a bunch. And then this morning I bought a bunch and it ran 14%. But now I'm like, do I just sell?
Listen, or this hold? This is a good example of why buying and holding is probably not the greatest idea. At least have stopped.
Bit me in the ass multiple times. This whole idea, just hold, just as bitten me right in my ass.
Because what's your worst bag, Sam? What's your worst one?
I was just looking at today, Cheddar. I forgot how to cash out. It got up to, I bought 1500, got up to $5,000. I just, like an idiot, forgot how to get my money out. And now it's $9. It's down to $9.
$9. Well, that's literally South Park episode where it's gone.
It was Cheddar. It was Cheddar from years ago.
Crypto. But if you look at HYLN, this is why I think it's important to take profits or bank fatties. Because 1 year ago, 11 months ago, HYLN, it was trading at $13.03. 1 year ago. It's at $1.50. After a good day. It was up 14% today at $1.50. So if you had just like stopped out at $10 or even $9,
yeah,
think about what you would have saved. If you just stopped out of it and said, you know what, this thing looks like a falling knife, I'm going to sit back a little bit. I mean,
but how do you beat the algorithms? Because I feel like every time I set a stop, it sells out of the position and then the position literally runs that night or the next day. It's like, how do they do that?
Well, how they do that?
The key is setting a stop when it's like when you're way up in it. Like for instance, January 2nd, and I posted this. It's on the Patreon page. I think we bought Meta at tell you right now, January 2nd, we put it in the portfolio. It was a time when Meta was getting shit on. We bought it at 180. We bought it, or even less. Bought it less than that. Shit, I'll look right here. We bought it at like...
I sold that, and I sold my Nvidia, and I should have kept the Meta, because wow, if you put $100,000 in Meta,
it's $200,000 now. If you put $100,000 in January 2nd, it's $200,000. Oh. So
damn. Yeah.
So I have a stop loss in right now at 211. It's at 238.96. It's at 211. I have a good deal cancel. It'll last for a few months, and then I can look at it going and reset. And you know the thing is, if you set it like 8 to 10% below, or even 15% below where that thing's just taken off, if it hits, it's probably still going to go another 20% lower. The key is setting those stop losses when you've already banked, when you got 30% you're looking at, and you're like, you know what, man? I don't want to pay short-term capital gains this year. I'd love to see this thing at least make it 365 days so I don't get fucked with a short-term tax. You know, put your stop loss in. It may not hit. It may keep going. And if it does, you don't lose your ass like that other stock, the $1.50 one. I can't tell you how many guys I've known over the years. They're like, man, you know, I bought WorldCom at 12 and it went to 70.
Oh,
man, I should have sold because now it's at zero. I mean, tons of companies like that. You don't know. You don't know,
but all these other ones, I sold way too early. Like
better to sell early than late. You could be in Jetta right now.
But Crocs, like my kids got 50 pairs, and I'm going. I sold that thing at like 80. I think it's up to 120.
Yeah, Crocs is one.
Don't you want to be on the side of selling early than late? Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
You always to bank the fat. It's better to make a dollar than to lose 10.
Jamie, stay with us. We're going to get Howie's final pick of before we call it a day on this episode. We go to our Patreon. You're more than welcome to stay if you'd like. That's where you know Howie gives all of his picks of the week and answers questions. So you're more than welcome to join us. So let's Howie, why don't you give us your pick of the week, a freebie for the readers.
All right, man, here it is. And we've bought and sold this thing for the past 2 years or whatever. You heard me talk about Ford. It went from 11 up to 16. Ford's down to $11.54. And they just came out with earnings, and the earnings were not that bad for this environment. It was a good first quarter. They're selling a ton of these trucks. The stock may even open up a little bit down tomorrow with the rest of the market. A lot of things got hit in aftermarkets today. This is good. This is good for the VIX. This is good for our SQQQ. We get some volatility. We can bank. So I like Ford at 11.50 here. I really do. Like it a lot.
Love it.
15, 16, we'll sell it. I make
I saw a girl yesterday in a tank top, no bra, in a rag top Bronco, and I thought I should buy Ford, and this is a sign.
Bang, there you go. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Guys, this is we're all going to the Primo VIP section called the Cash Daddies Patreon. Join us, and Howie, we're going to answer questions. Jamie, we'd love for you to join us if you want to answer some of the questions. It's quick, it's fun, it's profitable. So join us over there. Guys, thanks for tuning in. Go to samtripoli.com for all of your Sam Tripoli live events. I'm in Reno this weekend. Come get weird. And you got anything you want to push, Howie? Any dates?
Tomorrow, man, we got a nice lineup at downstairs at Barrel Street. Nice lineup tomorrow. We've had good crowds there. It's picking up Wednesday nights. I'll be there tomorrow night.
Oh, and I got
Patreon.com/cashdaddies, by the way. That's how you get to that.
Patreon.com/cashdaddies. Jamie.
And I got a plug. I bought the rights to Milwaukee Metal Fest. It's coming back on Memorial Day weekend, and I'm playing the pre-party with my solo band, and Paul from Slayer is going to come up and do some songs. And patreon.com/josta. I just did an episode. we keep the stuff that, you know, you can't do on YouTube. We keep that on the Patreon. So if anybody's interested in some stuff that's too hot for YouTube, go to patreon.com/Josta.
Sounds dangerous. I love it. Dude, you bought a festival. That's so cool, man.
Is that right on the lake?
It's at the Rave in Milwaukee, and we're in three stages. We're doing the Eagles Ballroom, the Rave, and the Rave Bar. And yeah, next year, I couldn't do it this year, but next year we'll do a comedy stage. So if you guys want to come out, I think we're going to try to have Brewer. Yeah. We're going to have
Let's go.
Let's do it.
All right. See you guys at the Patreon. Holla at your boy.